episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks. We have all sorts of updates. Women's golf, men's tennis, men's basketball. The football team has scheduled the game of the century. I then also dive into baseball and break down their midweek game against USC Upstate and preview their weekend series against Kentucky. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 66 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And how about that? Episode 66, Execute Order 66. Shout out my Star Wars nerds who get that reference. Episode 66, Order 66. A lot of symmetry there, only I'm not the evil emperor. At least I don't think I am. Pretty sure I'm not. I think I'm a nice guy. Screw Emperor Palpatine. Anyway, I hope everyone is gearing up for a nice weekend. I hope you have plans. Get outside, see family, watch sports, do something near water. I don't know. But I hope everyone is gearing up for a nice weekend. And still got Gamecock Sports on. We're going to get into the baseball team in a minute here. But Gamecock Sports on TV, always something to do whenever that day is. If it's a weekend, you can build certain days around it, Saturday, Friday night, whatever it may be. But anytime there's Carolina sports on, it's a good day, regardless, my mind at least. Before I dive into things here, have to start things off, as always, with our daily Gamecock calendar fact and trivia. It is, in fact, trivia. How about that? Kind of tease that one there. Here we go. Name the first South Carolina men's tennis player to become an All-American. He did so in 1968. Bum, 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 bum. Buddy Held. Shout out Buddy Held. 1968, first tennis All-American. That's impressive. And right now, the men's tennis team is doing pretty darn good. How about that for a segue? Shout out Buddy Held. Couple updates for you all before I get into baseball, though. Men's tennis, they are taking on UVA in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament this weekend. Big time matchup. Can't speak. UVA is ranked number 7, so it should be a tough test for our guys, but best of luck, Gamecocks. I know you're going to represent well. I got faith. I feel like this team has swag, and good luck, fellas, there. And now, how about some more NCAA tournament news? The women's golf team punched their ticket. Congrats, ladies. Anytime we can make it to the NCAA tournament, that should be celebrated. Huge congratulations to the women's golf team. I saw that they're even lighting up Capstone Garnet to celebrate that. So it is a huge, huge accomplishment. Best of luck there. Have a note here for y'all from men's basketball. Lamont Paris picks up transfer from Illinois. He's a forward. Benjamin Bozeman Verdonk. Now, he's originally from Belgium. That's quite the name. He's originally from Belgium. And how about this? You'll remember we had another transfer from Coastal who had international roots. So this is the second transfer that Lamont Paris has picked up with ties internationally. Kind of a fun fact. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to that. One guy was at Coastal, one guy was at Illinois. I don't think he wants necessarily guys who played international or grew up overseas, but just funny how it worked out that way. Benjamin's stats there, really nothing to write home about. I mean, couple of points average, couple of rebounds average, played about 41 games for Illinois. Really, he just didn't do a whole heck of a lot. So to me, this feels like it's more of filling a need, needed some depth. The big men left the team. He's that stretch forward position, feels like he could play multiple. So we'll see. Maybe Lamont can get him to achieve more than he has. Maybe he was buried in the depth chart at Illinois. So, you know, he's coming from a big-time program, coming from the Big Ten. So guy probably has some skills. Be interesting to see here. Now, I do think there is another spot or two even left on the roster. So it'll be interesting to watch how Lamont Paris fills those out. Personally, I'd like to see a guard, maybe a shooting guard, and then a big. More like a center, power forward type. So it'll be interesting to watch and to see how that shakes out. Now, moving away from basketball, and have a amazing, amazing update from the football team, y'all. This may be the best news of the week of Carolina sports. Of all Carolina sports, this news out of the football program may be the best we have. It's certainly the best news of my week. And that'll tell you all you need to know about my week and my work week and everything that came with that. But the news is that Jacksonville State has officially been added to our football schedule for the 2023 season. So not this upcoming one, but the one after that. It replaces Liberty. Game will be played at home on November the 4th. Now, this is absolutely electric. And the reason this is electric, if you don't know, is that Jacksonville State is the only other school with a Gamecock as their mascot, and the matchup is finally happening. Gamecocks versus Gamecocks. I was ecstatic when I saw this news. There were grumblings of it a couple weeks ago, talked about it on the show even, and then I totally forgot about it, and the news went away. And then bam, like a bolt of lightning, the most electric matchup in the history of sports is happening. That's right. Gamecocks versus Gamecocks. I want these teams to do everything together. We need to milk this for all that it's worth. They need to have a group dinner, a group picture at the very least with both teams. For the fans, we need hats. We need shirts. Anything commemorative. As corny as it is, I want it. You know, like all the bowl game matchups? Make that with the two helmets facing off. We need both mascots to have a meet and greet. I have no idea what their mascot is named. I hope it's not Cocky, because we have Cocky. But if so, they should have a dance-off, and they should have a winner. Whoever wins is Cocky, because I know that we'll win. Do they have a live mascot as well? Can Sir Big Spur meet a counterpart, perhaps? It's incredible. It is so much fun. I can't believe it hasn't happened before. They need to make this happen more often. I know I'm getting a little excited here, but it's awesome. Like, the Gamecocks is such a unique name, such a unique mascot. There's only one other school that has this. We need to play them all the time. Screw Texas A&M being a permanent rival. Forget them. Make it Jacksonville State. Absolutely. I might have to go to this game. November 4th won't be that hot at all. It'll be beautiful, actually. I might have to go. I'm booking my flight now. I'm looking up Expedia. November 2023. It's incredible. It's incredible. You know, and it's just so fun just to talk about it and talk about football again. But all kidding aside, you know, the cherry on top of this would be a cruise victory, maybe like 28 points. So let's all have the fun. Let's all do the pictures and the memorabilia and the funny puns and all that jazz. And then let's just destroy them. Thank you very much. And we'll move on. Now, I posed this question on Twitter as to what we should refer this matchup as. Now, I had the ultimate miss, and this is on me, hand up. You know, I have to be better. I had the ultimate miss, and I did not put the cockfight. You have two Gamecocks going against each other. I mean, literally, that would be a cockfight. That's on me. That's a huge miss. Rookie podcaster, rookie tweeter, that's on me. I simply have to be better. But Of the options I did put up, the winner is the cockpocalypse. That's right, the cockpocalypse. So while other smarter and more mature people will be dubbing it the cockfight, I will be calling the November 4th, 2023 matchup the cockpocalypse. Catch me being excited for the cockpocalypse as South Carolina takes on Jacksonville State and is going to demolish them in what is one of the most unique matchups in recent memory for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That'll be all. Moving on to baseball and games that are actually being played here. The cockpocalypse, man. That's epic. I might have to make a shirt. Again, that was the best news of the week, and I elaborated on that as such because Carolina, the midweek woes keep coming. The hits just keep on coming in the bad way for this team. Lost to USC Upstate 9-6, and just another head-scratching, frustrating loss. Midweek loss, team you should beat. It's just incredible. And speaking of head-scratching, how about this stat for you? With that loss to USC Upstate, the Gamecocks will end the 2022 regular season with a record of 2-6 against teams from the state of South Carolina. The two wins came against Winthrop. What in the world is that? How ass backwards is that? We are the University of South Carolina. We play in the SEC. Yes, there's a little hubris there, but we have the history to back it up. We have a historically good, very good baseball program. Historically very proud baseball program. With years of sustained success, and we are 2-6 against teams from the state of South Carolina. That includes the Citadel, USC Upstate, the stupid Orange team. Unbelievable. This game started on the wrong foot almost right away. USC Upstate scored 4 in the second. They would take some more insurance runs, tack some more on throughout the game. Carolina tried to make a little bit of a comeback. They were able to withstand that. We scored 3 in the 6, a couple here and there. Had a couple situations with guys on base, was not able to cash in a big one outside of that three-piece and ended up on the wrong side of it. And then to add even more salt in the wound is that former Gamecock Noah Myers went 4-for-5. So there's that. Unbelievable. Losing pitcher for the Gamecocks was Eli Jones. Some player highlights here for y'all. Josiah Seitler, he stays hot. I mean, it's just incredible. He went 1-for-4 with a home run. He has hit so many home runs since April 1st. It's unbelievable. Never seen a hot streak like this. It kind of stinks that the team has been so up and down, but I mean, this has been a very bright spot. Brant Belk, speaking of bright spots, he went 2-for-5 with 3 RBIs. Great addition to this team. I mean, season didn't go how any of us would have liked. I'm sure it didn't go how Brant would have liked when he transferred here, but man, like, he was the real deal. People were excited when he transferred here, myself included. He has really turned out to be very, very solid. Braylon Wimmer, he went 1-for-3, and it's just crazy. I mean, it's very tough to say this, and as tough as it is to say, I have to, but this really just feels like the nail in the coffin for any postseason hopes for this baseball team. The Gamecocks sit at 24-23 going into this weekend, and honestly, barring a very, very deep run in the SEC tournament, I just don't see a world where we make the postseason, which is just incredibly sad to say as a Carolina Gamecock baseball fan. I mean, truly. And it's incredibly frustrated. The fans are upset. The alumni are upset. This is just a bad place for our baseball program. And I've talked about Kings Dunn. Y'all know where I stand. And I'm not going out on a limb by saying I think he needs to go. Just about everyone agrees. And again, I understand that there's injury issues. There's depth issues. It's true. Very true. But still, it's just a sad, sad state of the program for the Gamecocks, unfortunately. But looking forward to this weekend series, though. It is at home against Kentucky. Now, it's interesting with this series. Kentucky's not very great. They're 9-15 in the SEC, 26-21 overall. But they are coming off a very, very impressive series win against Tennessee, who is one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country. They are incredible. So a couple weeks ago, if you asked me, where is there a chance for Carolina maybe to get a little boost, I would have looked at this series and said that this could be one that maybe Carolina really takes care of business. I also would have said we would have taken care of business against USC upstate, but here we are. But now you have Kentucky with some momentum. I don't care how bad you are. You take 2 out of 3 from one of the best teams in the country. That's going to give you some confidence, especially late in the year, going against a team in Carolina that is so up and down. You know, just had a heartbreaking series loss to A&M. Tough midweek loss. I don't know. Pitching rotation for South Carolina is what it has been the last couple of weekends here. Friday is Brett Thomas. Saturday is Noah Hall. Sunday is Will Sanders. I'm not even going to speak about that. Y'all know I have been incredibly frustrated with the Saturday and Sunday selections. Really, the Sunday selection. I think Saturday Noah Hall makes sense. I simply do not understand. At this point in the year, what in the world is King's Dunn doing? What is he doing not putting Will Friday? Just go back to it. It's fine. Put your best on best. Try to put your best foot forward. Say, guys, we're going to fight for this. We're going to put our best pitcher out on Friday. Try to give us the best chance to win. Y'all better step up for him. You're going to go against their best pitcher too. I don't know. I can't get myself too aggravated with that because it just doesn't make sense. my crow to the series here. Look, maybe it's just the long baseball season. Maybe it's the frustrating losses, but I just want to see this team win. So my crow to the series is just win, baby. I'm not asking for one thing to be more important than the other. I'm not saying this guy needs to do that. Not saying we need quality starts here. We need everything right now. Just win, baby. Do whatever it takes to take this series. Maybe there is a sweep that's possible. But let's just start with baby steps here. Let's try to get some decent innings. Friday out of Brett Thomas. Saturday, I feel confident in Noah Hall. Sunday, I feel confident in Will Sanders. Can Seitler stay hot? Can guys like Belk and Wimmer continue to contribute? Can Eister see some good pitches? We need a guy like Braswell. Maybe be a little more aggressive on the bases. Maybe King's Dunn needs to just be more aggressive. Try some more hit and runs. Try stealing more. Try to throw these guys off. Because it feels like these teams have our number. Our upperclassmen, guys at the top of the lineup, they're dangerous. Some guys you just have to pitch to. Other guys you can pitch around. But when it comes to the bottom of the lineup, the freshmen, it seems like the scouting report is there and it's holding true. Guys are able to get us out, get us into ground balls. So many double plays this year. So I don't know. So just win, baby. It's go Cox. Always go Cox. I want to see our team win. I'm never going to be one of those fans who doesn't want to see the team perform well despite a coach. You know what I mean? I think we need to move past King's Dunn, but I still want to see our team win. Always. No matter what. And I think we can. I think this weekend, I think this team, Kentucky, that is, shapes up well for us. So we'll see how it goes. Let's go Cox, man. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you listen it to. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.